morning, we continue to give honor to the Spirit of Christ and to each of you for joining us in this circle of family and friends who are blended together in faith. And many of you that are on this call, you don't probably know each other and have not seen each other. But I believe that each of you discern that the Christ, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is in the midst of us as we touch and agree in his name and in his authority. We are not here. We are not here because we touch and agree under a particular denominational banner. We are not here because of our connection to the greater Church of God by faith. We are united on this call in various parts of the United States because we touch and agree that Jesus Christ is Lord. He has risen from the grave, and he is Lord. Yes, he is Lord. It is in his name and by the power of his blood that was shed for our sins, we confess him as being our Lord and Savior. And because we have confessed with our mouths and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we know that we are saved from a life that used to be under the bondage of sin, but now is set free and free indeed to live under the protection and in the peace and in the prosperity of God's love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. This morning, today, and I'm still feasting off of the words and the story of Lazarus through John in chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And I'm still there, and we'll be there for a minute, if you will, proverbial minute, if you will. And I want to read those verses and get to the text and subject of our sermon for today. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. May God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, move us in now faith from education to illumination, from religion to relationship, from the traditions of men to the mind of Christ. In now faith, may God prepare our hearts and our minds to hear a word that will give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and power to overcome evil, not with evil, but to overcome evil with good. In the name of the matchless Lamb of God, the name of Jesus Christ, the Bishop of Bishops, and the President of Presidents, we pray. Amen. 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 This morning, family, I want to talk to you very briefly from the subject, He Alone Can Fix This. He alone can fix this. He alone, Jesus Christ, God in Christ, reconciling man back to himself. He alone can fix this. John shares with us that Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, they're in Bethany. And that Lazarus, if you will, he's suffering from his own pandemic. He's sick. He can't get well. There's no other outside intervention that can come to his rescue. Lazarus and Mary and Martha are located. After my study, I found out that Bethany is a poor village. And it, located on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, about 2 miles from Jerusalem. But Jesus is not close to where they are. He is beyond Jordan, as we will find reflected in verses 39 and 40 of chapter 10. And what it reads is like this. It says, therefore, verse 39 and verse 40, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan to the place where at first baptized, and there he abode. What we find here, brothers and sisters, is that Jesus had escaped the opposition that he faced in Jerusalem, who had taken up stones against him to stone him, as he boldly announced that I and my Father are one. You can read that in verse 30 and 31 of John chapter 10. So Jesus is being attacked in the temple by the religious elite because he boldly declares that I and my Father are one. I wonder if anybody on this call has a testimony that you and your Father are one in Jesus Christ today. From a geographical perspective, given that there was no modern transportation system, there were no cars at that time when Jesus lived, no planes, no trains. The mode of transportation for most people was their feet. And Jesus is quite a distance away from where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are in Bethany. In fact, Jesus is about 20 miles away. But while Jesus, hallelujah, is socially distancing himself from the religious doubts and from the political haters, somehow, some way, Mary and Martha know where he is without a cell phone, without internet, without Instagram, without cable TV, without Netflix, and without Apple TV, and without Hulu. They know where Jesus is. With all of the technology that we have at our fingertips today, do we know where Jesus is? Do we know where Jesus is? Mary and Martha knew where he was, and they knew he was about 20 miles away from them. But they also knew they had to get a message to him. They knew that the person that they would send to give him the message that the one you love is sick. Hallelujah. They knew that it was going to take them at least a day to walk 20 miles to get the message to him. But in spite of the distance, in spite of the effort needed, in spite of the cost to do so, they determined within themselves that I just got to get a message to Jesus. And why? Because he alone can fix this. He alone can fix this. Hallelujah. The message that they sent, it's pretty simple. The message is like this. It says, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And I thought about that. It's like, man, is that it? Is that the message? Is really the message that Mary and Martha send? That it's just that Lazarus is sick? I mean, really, are you going to have someone to travel 20 miles away just to tell Jesus that Lazarus is sick? But fair enough, I'm just trying to draw out that they knew. And I believe when I say they, I'm talking about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They knew that they didn't have to ask Jesus to do anything because they were expecting that he would do everything because alone could fence the pandemic staring them in the face. So they didn't have to ask Jesus to come. They didn't have to ask Jesus to speak a word. They didn't have to ask Jesus to pray. All they had to do was just send Jesus a simple message. Lord, behold, he who you love is sick. And so I wondered this morning, do I have any believers on this call who know how to just get a simple message to Jesus in real time? Somebody who can just call out on the name of Jesus, not just for yourself, but intercede on behalf of your family, intercede on behalf of your neighborhood, intercede on behalf of your city and your state and your country. Oh, God, Lord. Behold, they who you love are sick. I wonder if there would be anybody who would sacrifice their time and their money, their all in all, to just intercede on behalf of the ones they love, to just get that simple message to Jesus, as the old saints would say, who are stuck and in the miry clay of life. The one you love is caught up in a deadly pandemic. The one you love, Lord, needs you in the fire and in the flood. I can imagine in my awakened, finite mind that as siblings, Mary and Martha had some issues between them. And we know that there had been a little rift between Mary and Martha over Jesus. While Martha, some of you may know the story, while Martha is preparing food in the kitchen for Jesus and others at their home, Mary is out there in the living room, if you will, having the audacity to wipe Jesus' feet with her precious perfumes and her hair. So I can imagine that there had also been some issues that naturally would come to when you have a little brother. And if Lazarus was anything like me as a younger brother, I'm sure that Mary and Martha had to give him some talking to, if you will. But the simple message that Mary and Martha sent to Jesus reminds me of a loving message that my parents, Daddy Mac and Mama Dia, gave to me and my siblings. And they said this: as family, we may not always agree, but we can never fail to come to each other's rescue. We may not always agree, family, but we can never fail to come to each other's rescue. I hope that you are hearing the simple message of love this morning, that we, as the ecclesia, the body of Christ, we have no time to be separated by the petty thing, the rudimentary principles, denominational beliefs, religious practices, and the preferred style of praise and worship. We can't afford to be separated from one another this morning. We have no time to miss the salient point, the simple message that love never fails. Love never fails. Love never fails. If it ain't love, it ain't God. If it ain't love, it ain't God. The complexity, y'all, of the situation by which Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, they find themselves, they're experiencing a diagnosis is not based on misinformation or disinformation. The sickness that Lazarus had was real, and it was their reality. And we need to appreciate, hallelujah, that COVID-19, the Delta variant, is real, and it has become a part of our reality. It ain't made up. This is no time for the devil is a liar. This is not a situation where we need to say, oh, God ain't going to put more on us than we are able to bear. COVID-19 and Delta is real, just like Lazarus' sickness was real. But in the midst of all that, and in spite of the reality of the moment, Mary and Martha sent a simple message that Jesus heard and understood. In verse 4, we see this. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Jesus heard their simple message of love. He heard their plea for help. However, he said that this sickness, this COVID-19, this Delta, if you will, is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. I need to take a moment and just give God some praise. For all of my, however, moments when Jesus said and Jesus spoke life and life abundantly to my own situations and my own circumstances, I thank God, hallelujah, for those however moments when we're fighting against all odds. But Jesus said that what we were going through was but for his glory, that the Son of God might be glorified in our lives. Family, I thank God for Jesus that when he heard the message concerning the one whom he loved, he declared that the sickness is not unto death, but for, as a lawyer, but for means something to me. In the legal world, but for denotes causation, which basically means that the reason that we find ourselves where we are is attributed to the truth versus the facts. So where we find ourselves is attributed to the truth versus the facts. So if y'all would let me just say it like this, I can hear Jesus saying that we find ourselves in this moment in time, not because of Lazarus' sickness. That's the fact. That's the fact. Lazarus sick. That's a fact. But we find ourselves where we are, but for God's glory to be revealed. That's the truth. And we can't confuse the facts with the truth. The truth is not a fact. The truth is not a concept. The truth is in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Family, for all we are going through right now, it's for the glory of God. That's the truth this morning. And but for God's glory, we shall get through it by now faith. Because without this, but for faith, it is impossible to please him. For they that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If we were in church this morning, I would say, look to your neighbor and say, but for. Look to your neighbor and say, but for. And since you're not, and we're not in church, just look to your cell phone and say, but for. Look to yourself and say, but for this sickness. This circumstance, this situation, help us, Holy Ghost, is not unto death. This sickness, this situation, this circumstance, this pandemic is but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And at that moment, I believe that as Jesus is wrestling with the situation, the facts that are staring him in the face, that Jesus, the good rabbi, the doctor of the law, he ushered in a new reality, a revised narrative, a paradigm shift. Jesus transformed eyesight into insight and exuded with confidence and courage by the words he spoke to change the facts into the truth that this death is not the end all and be all. This situation is but for the glory of God. Jesus, if you will, spoke to the sour lemon of death and turned it into sweet and glorious lemonade of abundant life. I wonder if you know him as a lemonade maker. Do you know him as the one who can take the lemons that you have and turn it in to lemonade in spite of the haters and the hateful. He is preparing a table for you right now in the presence of your enemies. I ain't saying that they ain't around you. I'm just saying he's preparing a table for you in their presence in spite of the naysayers. He is giving us a blessed cup, a cup that is running over with the lemonade of his glory. Will you receive him and his word today that in this very hour, that your sickness, your situation, your relationships, your careers, your finances, your health, your whatever you are going through that got you down in the dumps right now, oh, it's not the be-all and end-all of the good work that he has begun in you. But for whatever we're going through this morning, the Father has intended it to reveal his glory being his divine presence, his glory being, you know that that didn't go down like it went down, but for God. And it is that glory that says to us that only he can fix this. That's the glory part of this transition. From eyesight to insight, as we walk by faith and not by sight. It's because when truth is revealed, when healing is revealed, when peace has come, when deliverance has come, that's when we see God's glory, the manifestation of answered prayer. If Jesus can do nothing about death, If he can't do anything about our so-called dead situation and circumstances, what else do we have? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all most miserable. We're all black folk most miserable. We're all white folk most miserable. But now by grace and through faith, we can boldly declare that because of Jesus, but for his blood and but for his resurrection and ascension, but for our mediator, Jesus Christ, who is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, we are going to experience, take this with you this morning, we are going to experience the glory of God beyond where we are in this very moment with Jesus. Heard love's simple message, and his glory is being revealed to us and through us to make us better and not bitter. The Holy Spirit is making us better and not bitter because Jesus alone can fix it. So we give him praise, we give him honor, we shout glory, hallelujah, because God is still perfecting that which concerns us. And we know that all things are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So this morning, as I bring this exhortation of edification to a close, I want to encourage you, and I'm also encouraging myself. Do not lose heart. Do not faint. Do not fret. Do not fear. Just get love's simple message to Jesus. Just get the message to him. Just get the message to him knowing that you know that you know that you know that he alone can fix it. As Jesus and the Father are one in essence, they're one in unity. He alone, God, who is in Christ, reconciling man back to himself, he alone can call forth those things that be not as though they were for us and through us. Amen and amen.